This is Ed Pohl of WaBiz Management, and I'm thrilled today to announce our new series about internet marketing. And with us for this series is Kevin O'Keefe, who is the president of Lex Blog, a design and hosting service for our new environment of blogging and the internet. Today we're going to talk about internet marketing and some offline marketing aspects of it as well. Joining us today is Kevin. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ed.
Our topic today, as I mentioned, is internet marketing. And so let's talk about how lawyers traditionally marketed themselves as a starting point. How is it that you perceive or visualize the horizon? And I guess I really want to say not the horizon in the future, but the horizon in the past. What have we done?
Sure. I think, you know, we have to take a look back at how lawyer marketing is unique vis-a-vis other types of marketing, because we only have to go back to the 1970s, which may seem like a long time ago to lawyers that are just practicing that may not have been alive. But when I went to law school, it had just been decided by the Supreme Court that lawyers could even put an advertisement in the newspaper that said wills and then the telephone number. That was illegal in the early 1970s and before. So the concept of actually marketing yourself other than by just being active in your community or maybe conversing with people at the local coffee shop or barber shop or what have you was foreign to lawyers. And so we've got to put that in context. And so when you think about that, the way that lawyers effectively marketed themselves was to network with people. They had to let people know that they could be of help to them and that they may be of help to them in particular types of situations. Now, I don't know that we had as much specialization of legal areas as we do today. You know, I think if we all think back, we think of lawyers doing different sorts of things. But I'm sure if we look, if we really look precisely at what was going on, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and before as to the law, you know, we had certain people that may have emphasized their practice of estate planning. We may have had certain people that did trial work. Well, someone had to know who the better lawyers were in those particular areas. And that came via, you know, marketing or by networking. Same, you know, it is marketing, getting your name out there and getting people to recognize you for what you do. So I think you've got to look at that traditionally, how that was done. And the emphasis was the idea of maybe that lawyers would go out and do seminars so that they could be available to speak in front of other lawyer groups if they were going to get work referred to them, or trade industries, if they were going to be in front of prospective clients. They may distribute articles themselves. They may ask to publish an article in a magazine. They would want to be quoted as an expert in publications, whether part of the mass media, mass newspapers, or trade publications. So I think it was that form of marketing, your idea of networking within the community that you wanted to reach, and then very soft marketing, you know, through speaking, publishing, being interviewed, that sort of thing.
It's interesting because the mantra that my mother used to raise with me, the more things change, the more they seem to stay the same, reminds me of a copy of an advertisement I saw that Abraham Lincoln put in a local newspaper that wills were that he would do wills. That was advertising straight out. And then, of course, as you suggest, it became illegal, and then the Supreme Court says, no, it is legal, and then we have folks like Larry Parker and other personal injury lawyers on the late-night television. So today we have a better equivalent in the sense that it is less expensive and more pervasive in the form of internet. So where are we today in terms of an effective internet presence vis-a-vis marketing?
Yeah, I think, you indicated, you know, the more things change, the more they are the same. And I even, you know, give a talk now that, you know, blogs are back to the future for lawyer marketing, you know, on the concept of, you know, it's the same thing, you know, that lawyers get out there and network, lawyers get out there and speak, lawyers get out there and publish with people, and lawyers get out there and be quoted. Well, when you get out into the blogging arena, that's exactly what what you're doing. You know, it's different than a website where you are just putting information up about yourself and how great you are, when in fact, you know, I was on a panel in New York this week where a lawyer said, you know, law firms continue to put up information about themselves when in fact no one cares. And they're focusing on themselves as opposed to getting out there and networking and doing it in such a fashion where they're writing so people can see their level of skill and particular passion on a topic. You know, so you are right, when you get into the internet, what you want to do are those type of things to have an effective internet presence, and that doesn't mean having a website. You know, many people think that, you know, I have the internet done now. You know, we had a firm do our website. You know, we had Martin DeHubble do a website for us. We had FineLaw do a website for us. I contacted a local developer, and they did the website for us. And they think that means they have an effective internet presence. And nothing could be further from the truth, and that's probably evidenced by the fact that if you were to ask those firms how much work comes directly as a result of your website, where you can say that somebody stumbled into your website and they hired your firm, and I think it would be very, very little, because they would have to walk over to somebody and say, here's my business card. Do you see the domain name? Please click on that. Or here's my name. Now that you remember my name, go run a search, and then you will be able to find me on the internet. And that isn't how most people use the internet. Most people use the internet, whether you're a consumer or whether you're a corporate executive, to investigate a lawyer during the hiring process, but we're not going in and putting in the lawyer's name, and we're not going in and putting in the lawyer's law firm's name. We may be looking for information on a particular subject. So if I am an in-house counsel, and you know, I may send a couple of emails around to other lawyers that I've used and to network with them via email to ask, does anybody know somebody, that type of thing. But just as easily, I've got that Google search bar on the top of my browser, and I can just key in, you know, environmental lawyer or brownfield lawyer, San Jose, California, and I'll see what comes up. Now, I could be a very, very good lawyer that does exactly that type of work in the Bay Area, and I wouldn't come up because I have my website, but nobody can find it, and I have no other presence on the internet where that information could be tracked. And so you weren't seen by that lawyer looking for that.
That's interesting, because the website, as I hear and interpret what you're saying, is the equivalent of an electronic brochure. And the brochure, whether it be electronic or hard copy, cannot get to everybody who may need your service at the time they need your service.
Yeah, and the reason is twofold. One, it is a brochure. You have to get it out to somebody. You know, so many times to have a website done would be the equivalent of saying, I have these brochures sitting in my office and I can't figure out why people aren't knocking on the door picking them up. You know, you've got to get them out where people can see them. And most law firm websites were, I like to tell people, you know, a situation where, you know, you must have had a law firm or a law site web developer that either intentionally was trying to hurt your firm so it couldn't be found on the internet, or you told them to make sure we can't be found on the internet, or was just surely incompetent as far as not knowing how to make your firm found on the internet. Because most firm websites, and I don't mean like 51%, I think the figure is closer to 90% and above, cannot be found on the internet in a way that people search for information. Most firm websites have been architected for them to be found if we search for the firm's name, or maybe we search for the firm's name and then articles. And if we search for a lawyer, we search for the firm's name and lawyer bios. Well, people don't search that way. So if I'm looking for a lawyer that has a specialty in international bankruptcy in Los Angeles, I'm going to put that in. I'm not going to presuppose that a lawyer by the name of Philip Smith that works at Smith, Jones, and Wright practices international bankruptcy, because I don't know that law firm. I don't know that lawyer. But what's happened, unfortunately, for lawyers is they've really been taken advantage of by having websites that cannot be found on the internet.
Well, one of the things that I find quite interesting as a layperson in this arena is that the website looks pretty, but that's not enough, and you have to understand the search engines and what they're looking for, and this concept called meta tags and other gimmicks, techniques, approaches, tactics, whatever you want to say, for enabling them to find you more quickly. But just like the hard copy brochure or any other advertising technique that you use, it's not there in isolation. One of the techniques I know that has become really important for a number of folks in a number of different arenas is a thing called listserv. And you're getting on to that listserv and participating as an active contributor, as well as your own blog and other techniques that enable you to, in a sense, get your information out, get your credibility out, your bona fides out there for increased exposure when somebody does the search and in the manner that you're suggesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to leave trails around the internet so people can find you and then cite you as an authority. You know, listserv, you know, has been one example where if you were participating in a discussion and people had a question and you offered something of insight, that's very helpful, because right there you're leaving your email signature line that has your email address in it. You're leaving your website where people can find out more information about you. You've got that. Today with blogs, if somebody puts out a helpful piece of information, be it very short, other people are going to cite that at some other place, and the media are going to pick it up on the internet, and they're going to cite it or contact you for more information on a particular story that they may be writing. And so what you're doing is you're creating more of an effective internet presence, because you're now getting out there and beginning to network on the internet. You know, the internet was never meant to be a place where we weren't communicating. You know, the internet was about communication. And so that's perfect when you think of it for law firms, because we do want to be able to network, and network does require us to open our mouths, and it does require us to communicate with other people. And the nice thing about today on the internet is it's now refined to where it's very easy to reach only that segment of the population that you're trying to reach, whether you are networking via blog, whether you're, you know, involved in, you know, it could be message boards, whether it's listservs, that type of thing. I really think, though, that it's going in the direction of blogs, because it's something more easily controlled by the lawyer and the law firm themselves. You know, to go out and to find a particular listserv and to control that discussion is a little bit hard, but with blogs, you can identify, you know, what other places may I leave comments so that people will see me in the target audience that other blog has. If I am going to post content on my own blog, I know for a fact that if I put up good content, I won't be able to keep my target audience away, so I'll begin to be seen, and I know that other people will cite my content as authoritative on a point, so they're going out there and broadcasting my message for me. And when you get to the importance of the internet, it's funny when I'm out speaking now where people will ask me about certain issues, you know, how important is, you know, being able to be found on the internet? Well, 2/3 of our population, you know, that's darn near 7 out of 10, do go to the internet to do investigative work before they select a service or a product, service including legal services. Well, if you're not there and you can't be seen, how can they investigate you? And if we were to do a particular search today, you know, Ed, you're in Venice, California, but if we were to search for, you know, Venice, California, real estate lawyer, how many would we find? Or would we find some generic directories that aren't individual law firms, but there's a lawyer in Venice that would love to do real estate work for, you know, people investing in condominiums, people in buying new homes, people selling homes in a very, you know, affluent area, but they can't be found. And then we have, you know, we have larger firms that are more concerned with, well, what about in-house counsel and corporate executives? In that situation, we have 70% of them using the internet during the firm selection process, and I don't think we can presuppose that all of them know the firm's name, that know the lawyer's name to go and search for that particular firm. And I think the days of them continuing to use Martindale Hubble and Martindale.com are, you know, coming to an end, because Martindale doesn't have a very user-friendly interface to go in and do work. I was chatting with a lawyer in New York on Tuesday, and he said he doesn't even use it anymore because it's so unfriendly, the Martindale.com site, because it doesn't allow him to do searches across the entire body of somebody's bio. He's got to go in and identify a lawyer by state, by practice area, city, that type of thing, and then it comes up with a long list of lawyers. And so lawyers are going, you know, in-house counsel and executives are going to that same Google toolbar, and they're putting in the subject matter, the locale, and they're seeing what comes up. They may be investigating a topic and be looking for information on a particular issue. Is there a certain decision that came out from the FCC that they want to be able to follow? And if they do a search on the topic and up comes a resource that's published by the law firm on that topic, well, they're in play now, that firm. And all they want is an invitation to the table to basically say, we would like to, you know, bid on that work that you're going to have done at your, you know, Fortune 200 company. So,
and one of the things that I think is really important here to understand is that the more sophisticated an individual is, the more likely they're going to use the Internet. I remember a number of years ago that I could not get my assistant to look at the computer, perhaps for some word processing or even some database stuff. But in today's world, nothing gets done in my office without first doing that search on the Internet. Nothing gets purchased without first doing the research on the Internet. And my suspicion is that when you're talking about sophisticated issues, whether they be a trade or contract or what have you, and somebody is looking for an expert in the area, a general counsel or general counsel's office or assistant, that they're going to do some kind of research on the Internet. You know, it may be more extensive or less extensive, but they'll go there in the first place. As contrasted with somebody who may be a bankruptcy lawyer for consumer affairs, or maybe even a PI attorney, that may or may not be the be-all and end-all, because generally speaking, those folks aren't quite so sophisticated. They may or may not actually use the Internet, although I suspect the more time passes, the more likely even they, in unsophisticated matters, will use the Internet. Has that been your experience?
I think it goes all across the board. I think the studies from the Pew Foundation on the use of the Internet, even, you know, or, and I shouldn't even say even by consumers, by all across the population segment, are going to use the Internet. And you may even have people that, you know, you may classify as less sophisticated may have more time on their hands to investigate these things. So every household has access to the Internet. Everyone that has a child has to have access to the Internet for their children to do homework. That's just a fact. Every person has a relative or friend that has access to the Internet in the workplace. We are all connected to the Internet, and we don't go to the library to look up information anymore. We don't turn to the Yellow Pages to look up information anymore. If consumers were not using the Internet, then we wouldn't have more people using the Internet than the Yellow Pages to find lawyers today. So, you know, there's more people that are looking for a bankruptcy lawyer on the Internet than the Yellow Pages. There's more people looking for a personal injury lawyer on the Internet than the Yellow Pages. And so, that's a fact. You know, that there have been studies that's exactly the case. And so that there's probably two groups of lawyers when it comes to those that, you know, would be attracted to a Yellow Page type of environment. There's some that just have to. You know, if you're doing consumer bankruptcy work, if you're doing personal injury work, traditionally you had to be there. And to go out and buy a one-page Yellow Page ad, maybe talking $60,000 or $75,000. Very, very expensive to do that. Vis-a-vis another firm that may have very, very good lawyers, and they're going to get their work never through the Yellow Pages. They may just have their names listed in the column in the Yellow Page just because they needed to have a business listing for Los Angeles, California. So if somebody were to contact information that need the listing of a particular lawyer's name in the business section, that would at least be there, but they wouldn't be running any sort of advertisement. Well, what's happening now is if I was a Yellow Page lawyer, now I have to be found on, you know, in the first couple, three pages of Google. Because if I'm not, it's just like I didn't have a, you know, an ad in the Yellow Pages anymore. I'm not seen.
That's right. And you talk about Yellow Pages and you talk about the library. All of this now is online. I mean, I can go into the public library online. I don't even have to go down to the physical facility to do my research. And if I want a book, all I do is go on the internet and say, I want the book, and they, you know, find it in their system, and a day or two later, or sometimes a week, they'll deliver it right to the library that's a block or two away from me. So all of this makes things a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah, and effectively, Google is the world's library now. You know, we go and we do a search, and we expect to find something, and the fact is we find it. And it works very, very well. And the problem that lawyers have focused on is when they focus on websites that put up information about themselves, that isn't what Google's trying to push to the top of the search engines. Google's trying to put up the top of the search engines that information which is more substantive in nature. Ed. So, I mean, if you went to the library and did a particular search on, you know, some type of patent law violation, and all you kept getting was law firm brochures, you probably would stop going to that library. But if you went to that library and you were doing that same search, let's say it was during the old days of the card catalog or the periodical guide to literature, and you were getting information that was more substantive in nature, that was helpful to you in your investigation on this topic, that would be good, and you would keep using that library. Well, that's what Google does. And so when we're looking for substantive information, Google's very good at that, and that's why it's worth what it is today. That's why law firm brochures, and there's nothing wrong with the website being a law firm brochure. That's what it should be. You need to have that type of presence where people can look at the lawyers, look at their background, see how long they've been practicing, see what practice areas the firm has, see what industries they represent. All of that information needs to be there. Their contact information, how do I get a hold of them, what's their email address, what's their contact information for their staff. All that information needs to be there for them to be user-friendly. But in addition to that, that law firm has to have substantive information that people can find on the internet in such a way that it can be cited by other people on the internet for them to have an effective internet presence. And unfortunately, the ways that it's been done so far where you store articles and asking Google to index them under the law firm's name and under article, nobody can find that because who in their right mind is going to search a law firm's name and article when they're looking for a particular legal information on this trademark violation law? If the law firm taken some of that information and got it outside their website and put it someplace where it's indexed for Google under, you know, trademark violation law, Los Angeles, California. Well, that's what people may search on, or certainly trademark violation law.
Well, let me ask you this question. If a law firm has a page of published articles or other information, are you saying that because it's in the website context that Google will not find it?
Not necessarily just that. I think it's counterintuitive for Google to look at it and say, well, gee, that's substantive information there, because it is buried behind the promotional front door, and you're not featuring that out at the front end. But unfortunately, the way that firms, and when you touched on it very briefly, and we don't have time to get into it in detail today, but meta tags are not what controls search engine optimization. The most important thing for search engine optimization that any law firm needs to know is that every web page that exists has a title, not the title that we see in the pretty graphics on the site, but the title given to that page. Usually it is generated dynamically. And so that title is what you're asking Google to index your content under. Remember that Google doesn't come to a law firm's website when somebody goes to do a search. Google goes out and stores the entire internet on a regular basis. On some sites, they visit every night. And so what they're doing is they have to store that. Well, when you store it, you have to put it someplace under an index name. And so you can have your articles indexed under articles if you want, which a lot of firms do. So if you did a search on articles, God knows how many, you know, results would come up under Google. But if you did a search under this same topic, you know, trademark violation, maybe a particular case name, and you indexed it under that, and the copy in the body of the web page has that same text, well, that you basically told Google, please index it under that, so if people search this, they can find it. So that's what it's all about when it comes to the search engines. And unfortunately, law firms may have the firm name article. Well, you can only imagine how many people are going to search the firm name and article when they're looking for a particular resource on a topic. And so that's where the firms get in trouble with all of this content that they're then storing on their sites. It's not getting effectively indexed at the world's library.
Kevin, let's move away from the search engine aspect of this. We'll come back to it in a later interview. I want to move, though, to your response to this question, and that is, what's the most effective methodology on the Internet for a law firm to do its marketing?
You know, I'm biased, Ed. You know, you're talking to somebody that runs a company that does blogs, but I think I can make a pretty compelling argument right now that there isn't a better way to enhance the reputation of a practice area or a particular lawyer than publishing a blog. You know, whether they're doing it on their own, whether they're using a company like ours, it doesn't really matter. You know, because what's happening then is you're expressing yourself in a way that people can understand it. They can do research and they're going to find it. Other people are going to cite you as an authority other places, and the places where they cite you as an authority are being looked at by your target audience. Well, that's everything we want as far as a lawyer. I would like people to read that information that I publish. I would like other people to cite it as an authority for other people in my target audience. I would like the media to be able to pick up on it so I could be interviewed on that subject. And I would like to be taking advantage of the latest technology. You know, and we're not going to get into this today, but the RSS feeds, where if I'm a journalist covering a particular story, I don't even need to know that a particular law firm's blog exists to be able to be fed post entries directly from that blog. So if I am doing a story on New Jersey eminent domain law, or a particular city, could be Long Branch, New Jersey eminent domain, and I'm a journalist that's just following those keywords, so I've gone to the large aggregators, if you will, and said, if you ever see any entry on this subject, please send it to me. And if I'm a law firm that is practicing New Jersey eminent domain law, that post that I make on my blog is going to be delivered directly to that reporter, whether they're working at the New York Times, whether they're working at the Newark Ledger, whether they're working at some other newspaper or television station in New Jersey.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this. What is so different about a weblog called a blog and a website? How is it that the one gets more play than the other?
Well, I think you have to look at it as, you know, a blog is how it goes back to the future of lawyer marketing where we started at. You know, it's how you network. It's how you talk. It's your voice. It's how people reference you, how they cite you.
Well, couldn't a lawyer have an ongoing discussion in his website, on his website?
I think it's tough because, I mean, how many times do we hear people how many times on the Internet do we see somebody reference and say there's a really good article over on this law firm's website about this topic? I haven't run across that very often. You know, we just don't see it. We also have the issue of the website isn't kicking out RSS feeds. Now, arguably it could, but, you know, who wants to invest in the technology that's going to kick out RSS feeds from a website where, you know, law firms can't say, this is how we're now going to market, and we expect the rest of the world to accept the way we're going to do it. We have to recognize the fact that, right or wrong, there's a cheesy word called the blogosphere. That's where this Internet discussion is taking place. And it isn't just all teenagers. It's law professors. It's law firms. It's industry experts on topics that that industry, all talking. Well, if they're going to do it from their website, they are not going to be part of that conversation, whether they like it or not. They can say, we're not going to do a blog. We're going to only do this at our website. We're only going to publish our articles at the website. That's all well and good. But if you want to do that, don't expect other people to cite you in their arena where they're talking about the subject.
So if I hear you correct, well, you're saying that technically it could be done on the website. You could put RSS feeds on the website and so forth, but that's not the way the road has been built. And in order to go with the flow of traffic, you've got to go on their road, and their road today is the blog. Am I correct?
I think that's right. You know, in the blogosphere and how RSS is being used. I mean, you know, the cat's out of the bag on this one.
All right, let me ask you this question. We have a lot of law firms out there, some big, some small. How are they adapting to the change that's occurring today in the Internet?
Not well. You know, we're having the same conversation vis-a-vis blogs that we had, you know, with websites. You know, when I started, you know, I practiced law for 17 years until I got involved in Internet marketing in the late 90s. But when I started my own law firm website in 1996, people thought I was an idiot. You know, I was sitting in rural Wisconsin, and people are saying, well, you know, your clients aren't, you know, tech savvy. No one's using the Internet as far as a place to go for information. How are you going to get any work out of this thing? And then we had questions of the legal liability, you know, the questions of, you know, what if I'm violating ethics rules? What if I'm, you know, breaching client confidences? You know, if we took out the discussion, took out the word website and inserted the word blog into that same discussion that took place in the late 90s, we're revisiting that today. Law firms are all nervous about this type of thing, and they don't understand it. And the other thing, quite frankly, Ed, with blogs, and I think, you know, you publish one, it's a learning experience that you go through. You know, as you go to this new arena and you start to get cited by other people around the Internet, you start to learn what this whole thing is about. And it's not something that you can see, and it's not something that you can understand from the beginning. It takes some faith that this works. Just like if you tell a lawyer to begin to go network in their community by going to various functions and getting known, getting recognized for what you do, you can't say that from that first time that you go out and begin to network that you're going to pick up work. You have to just know that that's the way it's been done traditionally, and by getting known as a young lawyer and practicing for a longer time and getting known by more people in your community, whether your community being your area of practice in the industry or whether it means your locale, that tends to work. You generate more work that way. And so the blogs are the same thing, but lawyers are not adapting quickly. But I think it's going to be like websites where in 96, 97, what was the percentage of law firms that had websites? I'm sure less than 10%. By the time we got to the turn of the century to 2000, you know, we were probably close to 90% and above. You know, now it's probably 98%. With blogs, it's a little bit different phenomena in that we're not talking about law firms themselves. We're going to be talking about individual lawyers and practice groups that publish blogs. And so by the year 2010, I think you're going to see the majority of lawyers, you know, and or practice groups publishing blogs, because it'll be a cheaper way for them to market than to do seminars. It'll be a cheaper way for them to syndicate content into their website to give it some breath. It'll be a cheaper way for them to syndicate content out into the industry for people to follow in information. And we may discuss it in some upcoming interviews, but, you know, as far as how easy it will be for people to be able to receive, you know, RSS feeds from blogs right into Outlook, you know, from their browser, Internet Explorer, you know, in the next year plus.
Well, I want to go back to your comment of a leap of faith, and as one who has moved into the blog world, I can attest to the fact that this really is a leap of faith. There's nothing that you can see, nothing that you can smell, nothing that you can taste, and it is a leap of faith, and you have to have confidence in the person with whom you're working. And by way of full disclosure to our audience, I will say that you are running my blog for me, lawbizblog.com, And it was, in fact, a very large leap of faith. But I had faith in you, and so I went with you. I will also confirm that I, as a result of the blog and other things that I'm doing, have many more calls of people interested in signing up for my coaching program. So it does translate, just like networking amongst a group of lawyers, one lunch period after another, that at some point you begin to see, you know, the phrase, the tipping point, you begin to see that fulcrum bend over more toward you than it ever did before. I want to also pick up on something that you said earlier about the signature. I find still today in the email world that many, if not most, lawyers are not doing more with their signature block. All they're doing is signing their name. And that does not allow people to really connect back with them by telephone or even email, other than hitting a reply button. But if they can't hit the reply button, they still need to find out who you are and where you are. And I would encourage our listeners to make sure that they have an adequate contact information in their signature block.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, just because it's internet marketing doesn't mean you go stupid on your other forms of things that you would use.
That's right. This is just one more method of distribution of information available to the lawyer. And you said, you know, that it's cheaper. And I would take issue with you in one respect. It is less expensive in terms of the dollars out of your pocket. But if you're going to be serious about this, and if you're going to do it well, it is not cheaper, because you have to factor in the time that it will take you to focus on this. But I think it's enjoyable time. I think it's productive time. I think it's intellectually stimulating time. And ultimately, that's the investment that you're making in your own self-interest.
Yeah, and it varies how much time people spend. I mean, there's some people that spend hours a week on their blog. There's other people that spend hours a quarter on their blog and still get the word out about them and information that they want to share. When I post an entry to my blog, it takes me about 5 or 10 minutes. Because I'm sharing information that I see. I'm an intelligence agent for my audience, you know, and so it doesn't take me long via the feeds that I receive from other places to share that helpful information for my target audience, which are those people that are looking for internet marketing assistance, and through the use of blogs and RSS. You know, someone that's going to write a summary article that's going to be 400, 500, 600 words, that's going to take a little bit longer. So it varies. I mean, I have some lawyers that come in and they put up 3 entries to their blog, and they make sure they do it every morning between 7 and 7:30. And they say it's the best 20 minutes or half hour that they ever spend, because their phone will continue to ring so long as they continue to kick out that information to their audience. So yeah, you always have your commitment of time, Ed, you know, like you said. And I think every you know, rainmaker, you know, which in the case of small firms, it's you, you know, because, you know, you've got to bring the money in to the firm in order to support your staff and to earn a livelihood. And if it's a larger firm, you're going to have certain components, certain people are going to be more important to being a rainmaker. There's always that time commitment to keep bringing that work to the table. But in the long term, you end up attracting often more enjoyable work to be spending your time on. And so you may be attracting clients that you enjoy working with, which is only logical because they've enjoyed reading your information on the internet. So they're attracted to you as a person and to you as a professional based on your style, based on the information that you've shared. So I think you're right when you say, you know, it's an enjoyable experience for the lawyers, and it's not only enjoyable when they're doing it, it's also enjoyable with the, you know, results and the people that they begin to interact with.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for joining us today, and for our audience, to alert them that we are going to talk about how to have an effective internet marketing presence in our next interview, and interviews thereafter we'll talk about other aspects of internet marketing. Again, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.